shot, and that is arrowed underneath the crossbar.
It may not seem the stuff of which foreign desk explainers are made. The news that a coterie of Europe's most formidable footballing powerhouses and Tottenham Hotspur are, or perhaps, as it has turned out, were, going to establish the Super League. A more or less closed shop of the global game's most venerated aristocrats and Tottenham Hotspur playing each other interminably and pointlessly in some perennial exhibition tournament. But such is the economic, cultural, and political potence of football that the announcement of the Super League has had seismic ramifications in the three countries whose clubs cooked this thing up, England, Spain, and Italy, and in many others besides. We should probably pause to consider whether there is perhaps any honourable sporting case to be made for the Super League. No, there isn't. This is simply and straightforwardly a manifestation of the fathomless greed of a cabal of cackling supervillains. The fact that, as of this broadcast, the entire misbegotten enterprise seems to have imploded in a sulphurous cloud of hubris, embarrassment, and acrimony ranks pretty high on the list of the funnier things which have occurred this century. But all such schadenfreude aside, there is politics. More specifically, there is politicians. Well aware that almost all football fans hate the idea of the Super League, making excruciatingly leaden references to the Super League being a mile offside, vowing to show it a red card, and so forth, like the sports ball-loving local sports team following sentinels of the common folk they are. For approval-seeking leaders, the Super League represented, if you will, an open goal. Thanks, I'm here all week. England was supposed to be the major contributor to the Super League, fielding the cream of its Premier League and Tottenham Hotspur, six of the Super League's 12 core clubs. 10 Downing Street veritably bolted out of the blocks. No action is off the table, the Prime Minister thundered.
I don't like the look of these proposals, and we'll be consulting about what we can do.
However, before Boris Johnson could dispatch a gunboat, the pride of English football and Tottenham Hotspur withdrew en masse from the Super League, cowed not so much by the rage of their supporters as by their mockery. There being nothing, tyranny fears more than laughter. Arsenal went so far as to apologise, which on their present form could become a full-time job for someone. Mario Draghi, Prime Minister of Italy, where Juventus, Milan and Internazionale had signed up, issued a stern statement on the importance of preserving current domestic and European football structures, which in theory observe a principle of meritocratic openness, though you'll find plenty of bookmakers willing to accept whatever odds you propose on, say, Palermo winning Serie A within the next century or so. Pedro Sanchez, Prime Minister of Spain, home to putative deserters Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid and Barcelona, also came out against. And in France, though no French teams had a chance to join, President Emmanuel Macron took resolute preemptive umbrage. But there were rumblings elsewhere of sanctions from existing football organisations. There is slash was talk that would-be Super League teams could be, might still be, slung out of current domestic and European competitions and their players disbarred from international tournaments. With a postponed 2020 European Championship theoretically due to kick off in June and a World Cup scheduled for Qatar late next year, that could have, or could have had, we're dancing as fast as we can, significant political repercussions a long way afield if various national teams found themselves unable to send their stars. Before England's mightiest clubs, and Tottenham Hotspur, abandoned the Super League, Ivory Coast, for example, who might reasonably expect to qualify for Qatar and give a decent account of themselves, stood to lose around half of their starting 11. Following various vault faces, the Super League's Panjandrum said they would now, quote, consider the most appropriate steps, unquote, though the captain of the Hindenburg doubtless said something similar shortly after clouting the mooring mast at Lakehurst. As we go to air, the whole thing appears to have reached the, oh, the humanity stage. So, a victory seems to have been won by football fans and by common sense. However, some perspective seems in order. We now contemplate a scenario in which the English Premier League and FIFA are basking on the moral high ground, a spectacle which might be charitably described as incongruous. Hopes that the plutocratic nonsense of the Super League might prompt a rigorous, fan-oriented reform of football are probably optimistic, verging on forlorn. Next week sees the semi-finals of this year's iteration of the extant UEFA Champions League. It's Real Madrid versus Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain versus Manchester City. One owned by a Russian gazillionaire, one by Abu Dhabi, one by Qatar. A milieu in which Real actual Madrid look like the plucky underdogs. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.